Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's showtime, folks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Coming at you on this Wednesday, we're live today. Titans training camp, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Titans on the field for practice, day number two of the pads. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. What's up?
What's going on, man? Yeah, it's a nice day out here so far. It's going to be 1,000 degrees in a little bit. By the way, Fairview head football coach Chris Hughes today at the facility, which means it's a great day. Anyway, hopefully we'll have some more drama like yesterday, and so we'll talk about it all day. But good times. Good to be back out here, man.
So we don't have drama. Can you hand me that backpack next to you, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
The blue one.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'm trying to get Robbie's old man briefcase out of here that he's had since 1973. There you go, buddy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
You're doing okay, pal?
You know I'm good. Okay. Just remote engineer, chief bottle washer, all those things. But we're here. We're ready to go. You mentioned the drama. Let's start with the drama. Because I've thought long and hard of how I wanted to go about this and what I wanted to say. And, you know, I know that Buck, we refer to him sometimes as Andrew.
Yep.
But Buck Rising, who worked at this station, was an intern here. I hired Buck. So we did a show together. Buck's awesome. We're friends and everything. So I know he and Jeffrey Simmons talked this morning, kind of worked things out. But I was really bothered by what happened yesterday. And the reason I was bothered is because it's kind of an indictment of where we are as a society.
Okay.
That, like, nobody can take criticism anymore. Like, there are even times where I've kind of, you know, I went into self-evaluation where I'm like, you know, there's times where I get upset when I probably shouldn't because somebody's criticizing me for what I do. And so that was my whole thing with what happened yesterday. Jeffrey Simmons was 100% without a doubt out of line.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
well, yeah, he was.
I get it. You got a problem with somebody, and if you are just tuning in, have no idea what we're talking about. Jeff took exception to some things that Buck had said and went over to him while he was on the air on our competition and called him something that is not FCC compliant.
Yeah,
that
right.
Went over the air and basically started an altercation while Roger McCreary sitting down to do an interview, you know, different things. And it just was – Buck handled himself great, the best you can in a situation like that. And it was very unprofessional by Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, it was.
And I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, I know they've talked and they've settled it out, you know, one-on-one, which is exactly how they should. But I think Jeffrey should have to talk about it today because this has become the story.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about what's going on the field. They're talking about this supposed leader, you know, losing his cool and going after a media member because he didn't like something that he tweeted. And Jeff has, you know, had these passive-aggressive tweets about, well, you act like you want to be our friend and then you hate us and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, it's fine for you to feel that way. But every time you're asked about something like that, you shut down and go, well, I'm not going to speak on it. It's like that's not okay.
If I'm every opponent who plays Jeffrey Simmons this year, I'm going to tweet something to him negative.
Yeah.
And watch him lose because I got you.
Right.
I got you. You showed me how soft you are. I got you now, man.
He is the definition of letting somebody live in their head rent-free.
Yeah. So the great Stoic, I think it's Marcus Aurelius or Seneca, says things that happen to us every single day. Things happen to us every single day. It's how we react to the situation that we can control, right? He can't control Buck tweeting that out yesterday. He can't control this and that. But he can't control how he reacts. And reacted poorly, selfishly, like a big baby. And if I'm the Titans, I'm pretty embarrassed by his actions yesterday.
100%.
For going off on a radio host. I mean, come on. Are you reading all these? And I'll harken back to the days. Imagine Walter Payton reading that or Lawrence Taylor. I mean, give me a Ronnie Lott.
Right.
give me a break, man. Just stay on the field. What's going on? Are you that soft that you're going to social media, see what people are writing about? You make $19 million a year.
Sure.
Go play football. Your job is a football player. I don't care what you write about me and all that. If I'm the Titans, I'm 100% embarrassed by his conduct. I'm also embarrassed by Brian Callahan not tossing his ass out of practice yesterday. If the ref says, I would have ejected you during the game, you're ejected during practice. It would have sent a message.
So I thought about that too because, you know, when I was leaving, William DeMay's there at Brian Callahan's press conference, and so, you know, you kind of heard his comments on it, and he said, you know, yeah, we don't. There's no place for that. We can't be having fights. But I didn't think it was that big of a deal, so that's why I didn't throw him out. At the moment when I heard that, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Because, like, look, we sit here and go, yeah, I want to see tempers flare. Like, I want to see some of that. I want to see pushing and shoving. But you got to know where the line is.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we've seen examples where Jeffrey Simmons doesn't know where the line is. Taking a swing is crossing the line.
Right. It is.
And so what's happened now, as I kind of, you know, thought about all this, is Jeffrey Simmons is in control because Brian Callahan now lost that by not throwing him out. If somebody else, and I know Robbie and Rexford were talking about this with Karski this morning, but they're right. If somebody else gets into a fight today and takes a swing and then he throws them out, it's going to look like that Jeffrey Simmons gets special treatment.
Well, he does. So yesterday, my evaluations football team, because of Brian Callahan and not standing up to his players, went from an 8-win team to a 4-win team. I'm telling you, man. That was a bad look for Brian Callahan. It's a bad look for the Titans. I'd be embarrassed from top to bottom of what happened yesterday. And even more so, when Callahan had a chance to put his stamp on this football team and let Jeffrey Simmons remain in practice. And you've got a great point here. There's a fight today, if to the level was yesterday, and that person's not tossed out, a person is tossed out, then you're playing favorites, and Simmons runs this team.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid. No football coach, I think, that's tough and you know, runs this program with a hard hand would allow that. And Brian Callahan did yesterday. I'm embarrassed for him. I'm embarrassed for the team. I'm embarrassed for the organization if I work for it. It was just awful.
It was not a good
go
day.
Go after somebody. I tweet things all the time to players.
Sure.
I mean, that's fine. But you know what? People tweet us all the time. And like the our text line sometimes. You guys are stupid. I don't care. I mean, that's your opinion. That's fine. It's how we react to it that we can control that's so powerful.
But
that's all we can do.
Here's where those two relate. And this is exactly what Jeffrey Simmons is doing. He'll say what he wants to say on Twitter. He'll hide behind that screen and that keyboard. But when he's asked about it publicly, oh, I'm not speaking on that. I'm moving on. That's BS, man.
Yep.
Like that's not, and you know, that's the thing. That's why, like, some of the texts or whatever, when some of y'all, and it's a, you know, minority, they want to be that way. It's like, okay, yeah, you wouldn't say that to my face,
right? Like, something I did not like though is that, you know, we know Buck well. Is somebody, a lot of people are tweeting at, yeah, Buck was trying to get slapped.
No, he wasn't.
No, not at all. And nobody out here is trying to get slapped or trying to get hit or get in a lawsuit. So stop that right now, okay? We're way over to the side. We're not, you know, provoking anything or trying to get things going on. It was a tweet yesterday that got big baby Simmons so upset. If I'm the Bears, I'm tweeting to him all the time. Hey, baby, what's going on, man? You be able to play this weekend? Or your feelings? I'd go at him.
Right.
It's football. You're not my friend. It's ridiculous. He should be embarrassed. The team should be embarrassed. And I'm embarrassed for Brian Callahan. What a bad look. You know, we harp on Vrabel, you know, a lot of times for, you know, being ornery and this and that. Jeff Simmons would have hit to the showers yesterday. Gone. You're out of here. You're not going to hurt the team. And then Callahan today or after practice or whatever it was is, you know, don't hurt the team. And then Denard Wilson's like, you got to play to that edge and then pull it back. Whatever. You did not do anything to stop him.
I am all about playing to the edge. I'm even, like, all about having a toe across the line.
Uh-oh.
Like, that's okay. It's crossing it that I have a problem with.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, man.
And Jeffrey Simmons crossed the line yesterday. Now, as I tweeted and, like, here's what was fascinating to me. I tweeted out. I'll read my tweet verbatim.
Read it, pal.
I will read it verbatim. So I tweeted after all of this, I like Jeffrey Simmons, and I think he's a really good player, but this is very unprofessional. You've had opportunities to hash it out with media members, and your response is, quote, I'm not speaking on it. Don't interrupt a radio show for your agenda. Be a leader and be above that.
Did you send that to him? Did you tag him in it?
I tagged him in a response to it, I think.
Well, like, people were saying,
but hang on, let me finish. Right. But I had one person, like, everybody was like, well said or liked it or whatever. There was one person that wanted to tell me what my job is. You have no effing idea what my job is.
Just like
I don't know what your job is. And that the media in Nashville needs a reset. And that shame on me for tweeting something about it. Because what it was is I got a response, and I said, I tagged him, and I said, is welcome on 102.5 The Game anytime he wants. And he goes, shame on you for trying to get an interview out of it. And it's like,
that's your job. It's our job. I did the same thing on that.
Maybe you shouldn't use a media member as your Twitter handle.
Yeah, right. So somebody said, why is this such a big deal? I'll tell you why it's a big deal. I've never seen this happen. I've covered this team since 97. There have been skirmishes in the locker room, 90% of those revolving around Paul Kucharski, but nothing to this level. Nothing where he comes over and he uses language you cannot use on radio during a live show and then keeps going on and then gets the opportunity to say, sit down and we'll talk, and then doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And walks off like a big tough guy, a big tough baby, and does all that. I lost a lot of respect for that guy yesterday.
I did too.
He
now
didn't play well last year. He's got a big contract coming up this way, and then playing favorites is never good for a football team, and that's what Brian Callahan's doing.
Here's the other thing. A couple other things that I would I want to address. Because, we got a text. Joe, would you call Jeff a big baby to his face? Come on, you big dweeb. Okay. Would you call Joe a dweeb to his face? You would not, keyboard warrior. You would not.
Why would I not? If he comes up and says, Jeff, you're acting like a big baby on the tweet. I would say that to him.
Yeah, of course you would. I would, too.
I don't give a dang.
This is the other thing that fascinates me. And, again, it's a small group of you, but we've already gotten a couple tweets, and that was a text. And Robbie tweeted this, so I'm going to borrow it. The links that you go to wave the two-tone flag to justify the dumb crap that some of your players do is fascinating to me.
Give me examples.
There are people that are justifying Jeffrey Simmons for going after Buck. Because he's Jeffrey Simmons. Because we stand with Big Jeff. We love Big Jeff. Like, that's their attitude. And it's like, do you realize how much of an idiot he looked like yesterday?
Right.
How bad he made his football team look? Now, with all that said, they can overcome this. He can overcome this. There's, you get up there, you apologize. Or even if you don't. Let's say he doesn't publicly do it. And I know that there are going to be people that rip him apart if he doesn't publicly apologize, and that's whatever. But if you said you're sorry to Buck and you guys hashed it out and that's between you, I can live with that. And now you be above it. Now you be a leader. You want to sit up there and talk about being a leader and say I'm a leader and say this is my team? I don't care. Everything that comes out of your mouth right now, I don't care. Show me.
Yeah.
Get out there and prove it.
Yeah.
Be a leader by example.
I mean,
because the other part of this, and Derek said it very poetically, is all that happened in front of Roger McCreary, a second-year player that was sitting there ready to do an interview. How's that leadership, doing that in front of that young man?
Yeah.
So,
with you, man.
We've all had moments in our lives where we probably sit back and we go, well, I was kind of an ass in that moment.
Right.
So, but guess what? We learned from it.
I love this guy on Twitter. Steven says, hey, yeah. Joe, big tough baby would destroy you. And I reply back, not a chance in hell. There's not a man on this planet that scares me.
And Steven, you're one of them. You listen all the time. You tweet at us and, you got your things you want to say that you probably would never say to our face. That's fine. Be that way. I'm
going to
call
us.
You out mode today. You want to mess with me? I'm going to call you out.
See
That's
what's happening to us. What happened yesterday? What's going on?
So,
it's fine. It's just, again, we've never seen that to that level of going after somebody, something like that, off a tweet. I mean, come on. Just read it and do better. Which makes me think Jeffrey Simmons knows that he was in the
he was in the wrong.
He was.
He knows he's in the wrong yesterday. So, but, I mean, it's deeper than that. We talk about the we'll talk about it all day. The Callahan not tossing him out and playing favorites and all that. It's just a bad look.
And to me, this football team went from 8 wins to 4 yesterday because you're letting that control your narrative. That's pretty sad.
But like I was saying, Jeff can overcome this now. He just has to want to. Brian Callahan can overcome this now. You know, I don't think he's scheduled to speak today, but next time he does, you know, it can be like, hey, look, he's a rookie head coach. He's allowed to make mistakes too. It's like, hey, I'm learning. This is my first training camp. You know, looking back on it, I probably should have thrown Jeff out of practice. Jeff and I had a conversation. Jeff's a leader on this team. I told him he needs to act like a leader on this team, and he says he's not going to do it again. And you got to move on and see if that's the case. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live today, Titans training camp. A lot of you have weighed in on this.
Weigh in, babies.
And we will address that and talk about that even more next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. You know you make me want to shout. Get my heels up and shout. Pull my hands up and shout. Pull my hands up and shout. Well done, Dr. Crane. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. We're live at Attention St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp today, as they are on the field right now. And I think I feel better. Got some stuff off my chest. I don't know about you, Joe.
It's good. And here's the thing. I mean, I don't want to become part of the story. I know you don't either. Buck doesn't want – we don't want that.
There are some. There are some media members that want to insert themselves into the story. But
So, I mean, to me, it's –
we're not them.
No, I don't want to – look, that's not my job. I mean, you throw opinions out there and have some fun and talk a little football. That's what we love doing. But, no, I mean, I'm not going to tag Jeffrey Simmons every time I talk about him. I'm not going to do all that stuff because – it's worth nothing now. I'm not trying to – and people are like, were you trying to bait him over here? No.
No.
I don't care. Not at all.
Blake on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can call or text 615-737-1025. Is kicking a player out of practice a punishment? Is it what he has to do after leaving the field? Is that the punishment?
Could be. Who knows?
I think it's a good question, Blake. My thing is, if you throw a guy out of practice, it's kind of like – if Joe did something and I said, hey, Joe, take the rest of the day. It's like me sending him home early.
Yeah.
Like if he said something that was out of line either to the listeners or to me or something and I said, Joe, take the rest of the day. Go home. That's punishment.
It is. I totally agree.
I mean, because you like – you. It's kind of like you realize – you go back to being a kid and you realize like, man, I messed up.
Yeah, and then you let your people that work down. I let you down. Yeah. I mean, it's on and on and on. So – at some point, and I tell my kid this all the time, at some point pride's got to kick in.
Yeah.
You got to have some sense of pride, some sort of pride in your body to do that. So getting kicked out of practice today is not great. And if you got kicked out, it's not a good look. And so factions learn about this. I'll tell you right now, number 72, I don't have my roster in front of me, is playing right tackle. You could beat him, Chase. Whoever 72 is, I'll find my roster in a moment, was awful. He's absolutely he was back.
Well, Brad Hopkins is standing right there, so it's not him.
He was back in the pocket before Will Levis was, and
bad.
It was really bad. I mean, Levis was able to move around and threw a dart to DeAndre Hopkins, but that's what you work through, you know. And so the first preseason game is, what, a week from Saturday, right, when the 49ers come in here?
Yeah. Jason Dover says, good luck. We should be done with the conversation. This is how the new generation is. Can we talk more about the O-line, D-line performed with pads? No.
Right. And another right tackle just got beat who came in and sacked Mason Rudolph. So, anyway, there's a lot of work to be done.
Yep.
But, anyway, the more I look this – and I was being optimistic with this team winning 8-9 games. I think they win 4 games now.
I'm not going to – I mean, 5 or 6 or 6-7 I think is what I had them at. I'll stick with that right now. But, I mean, these are things that Brian Callahan's got to get under control. In fact, Justin Greenbrier says, I think – Callahan needs to make an appearance today to handle this. I hope that he did handle it behind the scenes, but he needs to speak on it. It was clear last year when Amy Adams didn't speak that we were all left to our own devices, and it got worse because of it. He needs to come out and stop this before it gets more traction. This is a distraction that his team doesn't need early on. Spot on. Get in front of it. And whether, like, I know some people are like, well, the media, you know, that they don't deserve an answer. The media is an extension of you. The media is here to get you information. That's how it works. Now, some have their own agenda. I get that. But we're here for you. Like, I'm in this not as a reporter. I'm in this to talk on the radio because I'm a fan.
Yeah,
that's why I got into this.
Yeah.
So I'm like here with you guys talking about football and talking about what's going on. That's why I do what I do. But I agree. Brian Callahan needs to get in front of it, and hopefully he will. Viking Matt, is this bigger when Jim Rome was tackled by Chris Jim Everett?
For us it is.
That's
for
pretty
us
good.
It's huge.
Chaz and Levin, and the biggest issue I have with the Jeffrey Simmons sympathizers is they use the language like, we are going to get through this, and we will bounce back from it. Who is we? Why are fans claiming ownership like they're part of the organization? Thank you so much, Chaz.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I get it. I mean, they feel like if you invest in the team, buy season tickets, and you're one of them, and that's fine. If you want to feel that way, that's great. By the way, the player 72 can't block is Leroy Watson the IV.
Is that the guy they got from the Browns?
Yeah, not sure if he's kin to Randy Watson. But Leroy Watson IV, and he looked awful.
Remember, Chase, half a man, all right? Half a man.
That's right. Marlon from Murfreesboro, you guys are preaching fire this morning. If Simmons wants to lead, he should lead by example. Hope Callahan gets some control before he loses the team.
That's a great point. I mean, yeah, and you had a good point earlier, Chase. I mean, does Callahan regret not kicking him out of practice? I mean, that would have been the thing is like early on. Look, when the ref said, and you're the one that saw this, when the referee said, I would have, if that was a game, I would have ejected him from the game.
Yeah.
Then that's good enough for me to eject you from practice and go on. Don't do that. You know, and think about, you know, who has Simmons been here with the last couple of years? Byard.
Yep.
And Henry.
He had
Taylor Lewan.
Jarrell Casey for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, there's a lot of guys that he looked up to that are now gone.
Yeah.
Tannehill. I mean, you go on and on and on, and now you're the guy people want to talk to and hear from, and you're getting your massive contract. You've shown flashes. You could be one of the best players in the National Football League.
Yep.
Now we got to see it all the time. That's why when you do dumb stuff like that, people react that way. Had it been a third-team long snapper,
he's off the team.
He's off the team, and we would react to it for 5 seconds. But when it's your de facto leader doing that, come on, man. Can't be doing that stuff.
Here's the other thing. I called him a really good player. He is a really good player. He's not a great player.
Not yet.
Now, he can be, and I hope he does become that. But, you know, part of the problem, and here's what he's done. Him pulling this stunt yesterday, all this criticism that he didn't like, now he's getting more of it. But,
yeah.
But, like, here's the thing. You want to be great, then stop worrying about all this crap and go be great.
Well, remember.
He hadn't lived up to his contract yet.
We didn't start this.
Nope.
He started it 2 weeks ago.
He did.
On Twitter about Jamal Adams.
Yep.
He started this, not us.
Yep.
Nobody I know reacted negatively to Jamal Williams. We just said, look, here's some concerns, but here's some positive things about Jamal Adams. And he's sitting there blowing up the media. It's like, y'all are my buddy in the locker room, but you got your tweet thing.
Right.
Look, we're like in the locker room, like, hey, man, talk about this, talk about that. Then, okay. I mean, that's the thing. If something was bad, we've been in that locker room before. You have, I have, throughout the years, and talked to guys in good times and bad times. And I would tell young reporters this who are starting out, one of the worst things you could do the job-wise is go into a locker room after a team lost.
Yep.
And whether it's crushing defeat or getting blown out or all those, whether it's here with a predator, it doesn't matter. So there's a fine line. You've got a job to do in there. So I don't know anybody that personally is hating on every single signing and player that the Titans do. We react to them. That's what we do. And we love your opinions as well. That's it.
Can I just say, as we get ready for John McClain, and not to, I mean, again, we all love Buck and we're all buddies. He tweets out, what's the dumbest thing in sports this week? I think that's a pretty easy answer. We're live today at Titans training camp here at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. D-Mace in the house as well. John McClain going to join us from Houston. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on in the NFL right now, including his Texans Hall of Fame game coming up. We will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Live at Titans training camp. Second day with the pads as they're out there right now. We say hello now to John McClain, HoustonTexans.com. That's where you can find his work. Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm getting ready, running errands before I go to Canton for, I don't care about the Hall of Fame game. That's a scrimmage. But Andre Johnson being inducted as the first Texan in the Hall of Fame, and I presented him, and I take a lot of pride in that. I'm happy for him. And the fan base, J.J. Watt in 4 years will be a little bit easier because Andre had to go up against Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne, but it's a big deal for Houston, and I'm very excited for him and the Texans and the fan base.
Yeah, it is going to be cool, and, you know, he's – do you consider him kind of the first homegrown superstar for the Texans franchise?
Absolutely. He was I wrote a column for HoustonTexans.com yesterday how he ended up here. Texans had the third pick in 2003, their second year of existence. They had taken quarterback David Carr the first year they thought he'd be the franchise. Problem was we all knew Cincinnati is going to take USC quarterback Carson Palmer, the Heisman Trophy winner, and then Detroit was second. And Charles Rogers won the Biletnikoff Award at Michigan State. He was a consensus All-American. The NFL invited him to come to New York. They did not invite Andre Johnson. I told them, you're making a mistake. He's going third overall. They didn't believe me. And so... I asked the general manager, Charlie Casserly, who told me off the record they were taking Johnson, and I couldn't quote him. I was just trying to help him in my mock drafts. And I said, well, what if Detroit takes him? He said, they won't. And I said, well, how do you know? He said, I know. They got to keep him home. Matt Millen, the GM, was under a lot of pressure to make sure they took Rodgers, even though he had a lot of baggage even at that point. And it turned out to be one of the worst decisions in draft history. Rodgers lasted 3 seasons, started 9 games, had injuries, drug issues, suspensions, and then he died, I think, at 38, 2019. Just a terrible situation for him because he was such a great player. But, man, if the Lions had taken Andre Johnson, I asked Charlie Casserly, well, if they do, would you take Rodgers? He said, absolutely not. So it turned out to work out great for the Texans.
Yes, it did. John McClain is here with us. So, yeah, you mentioned the Hall of Fame game. It's a scrimmage. It's that extra preseason game. But what are some things that you've seen out of Houston after a couple of weeks of camp?
They got to look at a lot of backup players. They'll look at backups on both sides of the ball. You know, no team is going to do anything with the kickoff rule. Probably should just kick it out of the end zone every time because they don't want to disclose anything they're going to do in regular season. But the Texans signed 15 veteran free agents and drafted 15 defensive free agents have drafted 5 defensive players out of 9. And they need to look at a lot of those defensive players because they have positions open. And Denico Autry's suspension for using performance-enhancing drugs, that's a big blow. They gave him a 2-year, $20 million contract, coming off 11.5 sacks with the Titans. You know, he's averaged 9 sacks since he turned 30. And so they got to find somebody to take his place. He would be, he's an end who was going to play tackle in passing situations. So, thing is, though, he'll be well-rested when he comes back.
For sure. We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and McJoe Show. Yesterday, John, there was an incident happened here at Titans practice. Jeffrey Simmons threw a punch at J.C. Latham, was not ejected from practice. The referee said, had that been a real game, I would have ejected him. Bill Callahan elected not to throw him out of practice. And I ask this when I go back to D'Amico Ryans. You know, what, it's Callahan's first year. He's still going through it. He probably regretted not throwing Jeffrey Simmons out of practice. But What kind of maturation have you seen from DeMeco Ryans, John, so far from year one? I know year two hasn't started, but just how he carries himself and carries the team with him.
As a 10-year veteran who played his first 6 years here, and I used to talk to him almost every day at his locker, and I used to tell him, you should be a coach when your career's over. And, of course, he wasn't thinking about that. He was always a leader. If he saw something from a rookie or a new player or any player, really, that he didn't like, he would do it privately, call him over and say, that's not the way we do things here. And Paul Karski wrote a great column. I texted him. I said, that may be the best thing you ever wrote, paulkarski.com, in which he couldn't have put it better about Simmons and the kind of influence he is on Sweat. And they better get a grip on him, because one thing that bothers me about a classless act like that is you just throw all the media together. And yep. From what I understand, I've never seen anything negative about him. I'm not there to hear the talk shows, but I know what I've seen going back to when they took a huge chance on him and Amy Adams Strunk signed off on it, that it's been all positive. I've seen everybody up there praising the heck out of him. So he's obviously got some kind of issue, and that's not the way you handle anything. And if the Titans don't get a grip on it now, it's just going to be worse. It's going to trickle into the locker room, and you don't want that. They're trying to go from worst to first like the Texans did. You got to have everybody on the same page, and they're pulling for the same thing, and that's to finish in first place. And if you got one guy going off the rails, especially a guy as great as Simmons is, that is not a good look behind the scenes or out in front where everybody can see it.
Oh, 100%. John, and you're covering the National Football League. Who was the most feared head coach by his players? The one head coach where
good question.
They just would not do anything. They knew if they did something wrong, they were off the practice field or the game field in a heartbeat.
Well, a guy like Chuck Knox, who coached the Rams and the Seahawks, he was old school, no BS, and he was like that. If you had a veteran team, like, say, the Steelers under Chuck Knoll, veteran players would step up and say, look, we don't do that here. We're trying to win. You know, get your act together. Quit being selfish. You know, you need to worry about the team. And Frank Cush, who was at Arizona State, a drill sergeant, and he was coaching Baltimore Colts. He's the reason John Elway said he would not go to the Colts. He played baseball for the Yankees. He was already playing in the minor league systems. He did not want to play for Frank Cush, and his dad, who was Coach Jack, didn't want him playing for Cush. And there's a lot of coaches who were tough, and some were respected by their players, not liked but respected. And that's the key thing. Head coach, if he's working to be liked, he's in trouble.
John McClain is with us, HoustonTexans.com. We'll have more with him coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're live today at Titans training camp. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership. For the Buzz is always about great service. Chase McKay, Big Joe, talking to John McClain, HoustonTexans.com. John, what did you make of the quarterback contracts that Jordan Love and Tua got last week? And what does that mean moving forward for somebody like Dak Prescott?
Well, Dak Prescott was always going to get the most because he's in an unprecedented situation. He can be an unrestricted free agent after the season. And, you know, he may be tired of being a quarterback of the Cowboys. Maybe he says he wants to go somewhere else. But that doesn't mean he would get as much as the Cowboys are going to have to pay him. And I believe they will pay him. I've talked to you guys before. Jerry Jones is 81 years old. Unless they think Trey Lance has made enormous strides, they don't want to have to go look for another quarterback. You know, Dak's been good in regular season. And they lost a playoff game in which he played great. It wasn't his fault. And so everybody wants to blame all the playoff losses on him. And and he deserved it because he has not been able to continue in the playoffs the consistent production that he's had in regular season. So I'm happy for Tua and Jordan Love. Tua's been there longer. The problem with Tua, as you guys know, going back to Alabama, until last season, he's been hurt every year.
Yeah.
He's been a starting quarterback. And Jordan Love, he's had one great stretch over the second down the stretch last season. But the teams see him behind the scenes. They see him in the locker rooms. They see him in the meeting rooms. In practice, they see him in ways that we don't. And if they think they're worth that, more power to them. I'm for players getting every penny they can get because the owners certainly have it.
Well, and I understand that, but I feel like, you know, the Browns reset the market with the Deshaun Watson contract, and so now you're seeing guys like, and I agree, they deserve to get paid more, but Tua and Jordan Love, with these contracts, in my opinion, got overpaid, and now pretty much everybody here on out, outside of a few, are going to get overpaid. Now, if I'm somebody like C.J. Stroud or Will Levis, you know, and hopefully Will Levis works out, they're sitting there going, man, I can't wait for a couple of years when I get mine with the way the market's been set. But Dak's going to get over 60, which I think is even too much for him. That's just where the market is, though.
And Trevor Lawrence overpaid at 55 million. They're all overpaid. But, you know, it's the cap keeps going up, and it makes it tougher to keep the guys you want. The good GMs find ways around that. And the Cowboys will get all three of those guys signed eventually. And then everybody can go back to complaining about the way they choke in the playoffs.
John McClain joined us on the Chase and Big Joe show here at Titans training camp. John, what do you make about this Aaron Rodgers not playing in any preseason games when, you know, he wanted to come back at the end of last year? What the hell's going on up there?
Well, I think they're worried about him getting hurt. He's there at practice. He's working out with them every day. I don't think that playing in preseason would benefit him. And holding him out instead of risking getting hurt again, I think it was the right thing to do. There's going to be a lot of starters around the NFL not playing at all in preseason.
Yeah, we saw that. And Caleb Williams, the rumor is he might not play in any preseason games. My thing with him, why not? I mean, you've got to play some, right? At least go through the motions of a simulated game day?
Yeah, I would think little things on rookies is little things we take for granted, like getting in and out of the huddle, getting up and looking over the defense, trying to read the safeties when they come up and they come back, getting familiar with your center when you're under center. When in college, you've taken everything out of the shotgun. Little things like that, speeding things up because the clock is ticking. So I think guys need to have game situations. It doesn't have to be a lot, but if Caleb Williams is not playing in this game, I'd play him a quarter or a half in the last three games.
Oh, absolutely with that. Let me ask you about Jim Harbaugh, John. Any pressure for him this first year out in Los Angeles with the Chargers? Because they don't have any receivers. You know, he's got a great quarterback, but nobody really to throw to. And I was just reading something about him yesterday about the approach to practice, and the players love it, obviously. It's kind of easier practice than what they're used to. How do you see things working out for him this first year? Because the players love him, John. We know that.
Bill Walsh used to have some of the easiest practices. Bud Grant had the hardest practices. Grant got the Super Bowls and lost. Walsh, of course, won, I think, three. And it just depends on the players. Do you have good players? Do you have a team? Every team has a player council in which the head coach talks to them, and they can air gripes and speak openly. And when you're out in California, I guess, just because the weather's so nice, it's just easier. Even if you go full speed, it's not like you're dying from sweat like in Nashville or Houston and other places across the South, or the Mid-South. So I don't have a player with a problem with the way they approach anything till we get to regular season.
Talking with John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. You mentioned earlier Denico Autry getting popped for PEDs with the Texans. It looks like Arden Key, the same thing's going to happen to him here with the Titans. And I look out at the market, if, you know, if the Titans in particular wanted to bring in another pass rusher, it's slim pickings out there. I mean, Carl Lawson is available. Yannick Ngakoue, I think, is at the end of his career, but he's available. Any of those guys appealing to you if you were the Titans?
No, if they were any good, they'd already be on a roster. And they may sign one. I don't think the Texans are going to sign one because they got so many defensive linemen. Maybe they will. You know what they'll do is they'll wait till the final cut. That's when you get guys who've been through a whole training camp and off-season program, and they're in really good shape. When you sign a guy who hadn't been in any of that, he's got to get in football playing shape. And if that takes him six games, then he's useless. So I think when you see the rosters reduced to 53, that's when teams are going to be offering opportunities to those guys who are cut.
John, has there ever been a training camp where there's not any sort of drama in here in the years you've covered?
Boy, it's pretty boring here. It was when D'Amico came here last year, he has a certain way of handling things, and it's just not saying it's all smooth. You have injuries, you have Autry suspension, but you don't have anything like the Titans have had. Back when I covered the Oilers, there was constant controversy, fights. Coaches welcomed fights. They thought it toughened up the players. Now, of course, they look down on fights. But it's changed a lot because it's more business today. Careers last longer. They make more money. Players are not wild and crazy at night like they used to be, which is easier when training camp is on the road than when it's at home. So it's changed so much, just like the game has changed so much. And I'll tell you, it's a lot more fun in the old days.
Well, I can imagine. I'm just thinking of a guy like Bum Phillips would, if he was around today and saw how they only go practice for an hour and 15 minutes and not 3 a days, 2.5 hours each time in practice. It has evolved, and, you know, some say for the better, and some like you and I think miss those old days, John, because there was a lot of things going on in camp that were fun to watch. It was controversies. It was work. I remember Dave Casper one time said, for 6 weeks, I'll make myself numb, because that's the way I can get through training camp. And it was long and hard. And so it's a different game, but that's how it's evolved now, John.
When Dave Casper played for the Oilers, Bum Phillips traded for him in 80 at the trade deadline, so the Oilers would have two strong sides, Earl Campbell to run in or run behind. Earl ran for over 1,800 yards and led the league. And Casper, in training camp, he wanted to sleep late. He didn't want to eat breakfast. And after Bum was fired, the next coach, Ed Biles, told him he had to be at breakfast, so he would bring a pillow and his blanket and get on the breakfast table in the breakfast room and sleep while everybody else ate. And then Biles told him when he got off the field, he'd take his helmet off. He wanted players keeping their helmets on all the time. So he started wearing his to lunch, to dinner, to meetings. Everywhere he went, Casper would wear his helmet because Biles told him to keep his helmet on. You don't see players like that anymore, I can tell you.
No, not at all. John, great stuff as always. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
Guys, thank you very much. I look forward to it. Be talking to you about the Hall of Fame game and the start of the official preseason when everybody plays. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. John McClain joining us from Houston and about to head to Canton for the Hall of Fame game. We got more coming from Titans training camp. Kenneth Murray is scheduled to join us. Mm-hmm. Paul Koharski just tweeting, Kenneth Murray and Josh Wiley not liking each other right now. Murray offer a loud and harsh review of Wiley's game. Murray swung at the tight end. Hashtag Titans.
All right, so...
So there you go.
Our one guest who's coming up for practice might get tossed out of practice.
We will see. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Moro Casino.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.